Nick, when you guys originally signed Isaiah Stanback, was it as a quarterback, and then maybe you realized you could use him as a receiver, or did you sign him thinking maybe he could do whatever?
Yeah, you know, when we had evaluated Isaiah coming out of college, we thought that he could play quarterback, and he was subsequently switched to receiver in Dallas. And we signed him. We brought him in to work at quarterback. But I think Isaiah is kind of a unique player from the standpoint he's got a pretty unique skill set, and he's performed multiple roles really since he's been here in practice, whether it's quarterback, whether it's receiver. And as the weeks progressed, you know, he did some different things at receiver, and he improved. So, you know, he's a situation where he's a unique player. He's athletic. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He has good hands. And, you know, week to week we go through the process, and, you know, based on his performance and based on what he's done in practice, you know, he went to the game last week and actually played some snaps for us at receiver. I think it ended up being 40-plus snaps or whatever it might be. So, you know, we'll go through each week and see how it goes, and then, you know, make a decision about, you know, what we feel his best spot is going to be for us now and then moving forward.
Nick, can he bring value in the return game, you think? I know he did some of that in Dallas.
Yeah, it's something I don't think we've really looked into that as much as of yet, because we've got some other guys that were working at that spot right now, whether it's Wheatley, whether it's Slater, whether it's Butler. But with his skill set, just in terms of playing in the kicking game, because of his size, because of his seat, because of his size, because of his speed, because of his playing strength, you know, I think it's something that week to week, you know, we'll go through practice, and if there's an opportunity that arises where he needs to return, I'm sure that's something that Scotty O'Brien and the rest of the staff will look at. But you know, in terms of just his overall physical attributes for special teams, I'd say that there's a lot of positives there.
Nick, kind of an offensive-related question. When you have a guy like Maroney who you know, fumbles going in and then obviously sees sort of decreased snaps as the game goes on, how do you guys handle that with him? I mean, do you treat it like a physical mistake and you know, sort of work to correct it, or does he have to, like, earn back the trust that he's going to hang on to it, or how do you guys deal with a situation like that?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of faith in Lawrence and his ability with the ball in his hands, and, you know, that situation came up, and there was a number of plays, if you were to look at the game, whether it was that play or, you know, there's a handful of other plays, and I think as the game wore on, you know, the game, really, we ended up playing in a lot of spread formations and multiple receiver formations, you know, which that kind of brings into play Kevin's, you know, Kevin's strength as a football player, you know, getting him in space, his role in the passing game, and some of those things. So I think offensively and, you know, from a coaching standpoint, we have a lot of confidence in Lawrence and his ability and what he can do with the ball in his hands. And, you know, I'm sure he's anxious to bounce back this week, and I'm sure the next opportunity that arises, he'll look to step up to the challenge. But I think we have a lot of confidence in Lawrence in his ability for our offense.
Hey, Nick, you talked about running a lot of spread stuff, and obviously you guys have done that the last few years. Is there some cost in doing that when you get into the red zone? And I know some teams that have run those types of offenses in the past have had some problems inside the 20. Does it become more difficult to play that type of offense when you get closer to the goal line?
I wouldn't say that. I think really, and I think Bill has talked about this, is just when you get down to that area, the windows are so tight, so you have to make a decision. If you want to spread the defense out and try to use your sub runs and throw the ball, or do you want to tighten them down and try to get a little bigger and try to run the ball? So I think you really have to look at your opponent each week and say, okay, this really is the best personnel grouping, or this is kind of the best way to play them. So the red zone, it's really the situational aspects of the game. Red zone and third down, in the end, that's what the game boils down to. And I think we've had our moments where we've had some good plays in the red area, and I think we need to continue to improve and realizing that, you know, when we get down there, you have to take advantage of opportunities because you don't get them all the time. So just you're dealing with limited space, so you just have to figure out how you're going to deploy your personnel and deploy your offense, you know, once you get down there.
Yeah, one more for me before we go. About the decision to put Brandon Tate on IR, what what went into that decision? And was that tough for a guy who, you know, to tell a guy that who had come back, you know, and worked back and then only gets to play two games and then has to sit out?
Yeah, I think Brandon, he really, since he's been here, he's had a great attitude. You know, he understood the situation, you know, when he was drafted, that there was a long road ahead of him, and he needed to do everything in his power to try to get himself healthy, and he worked to that point. And sure, it's disappointing, you know, because I think each week he was getting progressively better. And I'd say this about Brandon. I think just the way he handled not only his situation when we drafted him and even this situation here, I think he's handled it he's handled it great. You know, I think he understands that it's a tough situation, and whether it's him or whether it's any other player that gets put in that situation where they're put on IR, it's tough. But I think the most important thing is you stay positive and you just try to look forward to next year. And I'm sure Brandon will do that. I mean, I think he's been mature. He's done a great job since he's been here. So it's unfortunate those things happen during the year. But you have to move forward. We have to move forward as a team, and I think Brandon will move forward as well and deal with it in a positive manner.
Nick, you've spent a lot of time around Bill Belichick, and I'm not sure you're aware, but obviously the fourth down call against the Colts generated a lot of passionate discussion among sports fans. I'm curious, when the heat gets turned up like that from the outside, do you notice anything, or has anything caught your eye in regards to how Bill sort of stays the course in situations like that?
You know, I think every week, and it kind of goes with our core philosophy of how we deal with things, is each week is its own entity, and then once you get through the game, you're going to realize that, you know, we've had to bounce back here from some games, whether it's early in the year against the Jets or early in the year against Denver. And those were both close ball games. So I think you move forward, you put it behind you, you try to learn from it, and then you realize that there's such a quick turnaround because each week you have to prepare for the next challenge and the next opponent. And I think that's been our belief, that's Bill's belief since he's been here, and he imparts that to the players. And I think really that's the only way you can deal with it, because what's done is done, so you have to move forward. And there's a long season still ahead of us, so we just have to make sure these next seven games that each week that we're prepared and we do everything in our power to give us the best chance to win, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks.